Good morning and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk, channelradio.co.uk. It is Friday, the 18th of May, I think it is. Are we going out? Are you up? I'm not doing... You know what? I'm just going to start again.
I would.
It's all gone a bit pear-shaped this morning. Why has it gone pear-shaped? Because I'm tired. I was at an event yesterday. I ran an event yesterday.
It was good, though.
It was a good event.
It was brilliant.
Let's turn everybody up. Are we... Okay, let me just make sure we do this. I never do this. I never get it all wrong.
It's the first time for everything.
I'm going to cry now. I was all prepared. You know, we was... this is the first... You know why? This is the first show I've prepped for.
You don't want to do that.
Obviously, it doesn't work. Let me say hello. Good morning and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio on bizradio.co.uk, channelradio.co.uk/2 on Friday, the 18th of May. I am joined in the studio today. We have another new co-host joining us. It's the fabulous Richard Bell.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
And our guest is the wonderful Gareth Keynes from ZC Social Media.
Good morning.
Good morning. I've got a studio full of men this morning. That's what put me off, you see. That's why I've gone at my stride and pressed all the wrong buttons at the wrong time. And
oh, yeah. It would be our fault, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It was all your fault. Today's show is going to be slightly different than normal. We've got lots of things to cover, but there's two really prevalent subjects I want to cover today because we've got two experts in the room and... Paul. So we are going to be talking with Gareth, obviously, about social media. And also we are going to, yes, I'm sorry to swear on the radio, we're going to talk about GDPR.
Yeah, don't turn off. Don't turn off.
I know everybody is sick of hearing this. So what we're going to try to do today is we're going to simplify it, just confirm that, you know the major stuff that you need to have done by next week. Don't worry, you've got another week. It's fine. Don't panic.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time. We do, as ever, want to hear from you, the listener. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to tweet us at Bunker Extra with an X and hashtag BExtra and give us a tweet. If you've got a question, if you want to moan at us about GDPR, if you've got any social media questions, please tweet us during the show. If you want to give us a call, we haven't got long on the show, but and you can't rant too much, but if you do want to call us, you can call us in the studio live on 01233 220035. That's 01233 220035. And you can, as always, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got an event coming up that you want us to talk about, email me at bunkerextra@gmail.com. Now, on last week's show, I was joined in the studio by the very excitable and very fast Molly Moodle-Wright. And our guest was Tanya Emery from Base Academy. And we were talking about how she set up her beauty academy and was running it and everything, which is fantastic. It was a really interesting show. So if you've missed that and any of the other shows, you can now listen to them on the Biz Radio website, bizradio.co.uk, and go to the extra tab. They are worth listening to because they were great fun. Talking of Molly, she was a speaker at the event yesterday.
It was fantastic.
I had Amy and I had Molly. Can you imagine Amy and Molly in the same room together?
I actually seen your Twitter feed. That was actually the video. It was quite interesting.
Facebook Live.
With the pair of them there talking, it opened a new rip in the space-time continuum, actually, and a black hole was formed of the energy.
It was a great...
It was high energy.
But, and to be fair, Molly made Amy look calm.
Oh.
Exactly. I think even Brad and Amy were amazed at the speed in which Molly talked.
That's what it's about. It's about what the having the other energy around you.
It was good. It was so good. And I put Molly purposefully on after lunch because I knew she'd wake everybody up after the break. But it was great. The information they both got across, and obviously the Networkers Networking is all about networking and introducing more ways, different ways to help you network. And both of them obviously had a very similar subject they were talking about, online networking as well as offline, but then also carrying it through face to face and all that type of thing. So it was great. It was such a great event. And then afterwards we went on safari. Mm. We went on safari. We saw giraffes.
We got our own giraffe, didn't we? We got followed by a giraffe.
That's my new best friend. Mm. Baby camels. There's lots of babies around at the moment. They've got two giraffes that are about to give birth. If you go on to the Portlim Facebook page, they've got live cams.
Yeah,
so excited. I'm watching it all the time. I want to see a baby born. So it's cool. So it was really good. I want to give a huge shout out to everybody that's involved yesterday, because it was a great event. We had great fun. We had the speakers. So it was Amy McManus, Molly Wright, and Ali Hollands. We had five event sponsors, which were brilliant. So we had Jobs in Kent, Telcare, Kylene Lettings, Telford's Accountancy, and Jarman Solicitors, all sponsors. So thank you, guys. And obviously the attendees, it wouldn't happen without them. And we had lots of new faces, which is really nice. Lots of people that I haven't met before. So it was great. And hopefully they enjoyed the environment as well.
It was a big turnout, wasn't it?
It was.
It was a big turnout. I mean, it was full, basically.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. It was another brilliant event.
It was good.
You've got to top it next time, though.
That's the trouble. I don't know that I can top it because of the venue and the safari and everything. So Mark Goldfinch said maybe we just call this the legend event.
And start again with some rubbishy
Trouble
ones.
Is I always try to do better next time.
Yeah.
But it has to be better than a giraffe.
Well, exactly. I can't top that.
Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, it was great. Obviously, there's lots of social media about it, so you can check it out. And there's lots more photos coming. I have obviously an event photographer, and she was like, can I come on the safari? I was like, yeah. And then obviously she got these amazing, amazing photos.
Is this where you actually get on the back of the truck?
We went down and we went through the Asian and the African experience. Nice. And it was
because they
awesome.
Do a little, is it glamping?
Yeah. And the pods and the tiger lodges and the wolf cottage.
Lodge,
it's a brilliant place. I mean, Amanda lives there most of the time anyway.
And I'm going to do another
show. Not in a cage.
No. Yeah, thank you for adding that.
No, that's right.
And watch this space because there is another charity event coming up later in this year, which everybody's going to find out about. It was amazing.
It was
fantastic. And it was quite actually, in fact, it's almost like I planned this, because obviously the subject what we covered a lot of yesterday was online and social media presence as well as offline. So it leads us perfectly into our guest today, Gareth Cairns from Sensi Social Media.
Thank you very much.
Look at that.
It's amazing when a plan comes together, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks very much for
Thank you for being here. Now, if there's anybody out there who doesn't know Gareth or Zoe Cairns from City Social Media, what rock do you live under?
Yes, if you're not online.
If you're not online. But well, that starts our conversation very, very well, because Paul did give us a very scary statistic yesterday, which was 73% of businesses still have no...
micro self-employed businesses, 73% have no digital presence at all.
Wow.
That's a scary statistic, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially to a certain extent, it's free to use.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's just your time.
Yeah. And I'm sure I saw those statistics. They were a Federation of Small Business statistics, and I saw them, and I didn't believe them when I first saw them. I thought, really? And I checked and checked and checked. There are some caveats to that. I mean, we're talking about business presence, yeah? So a lot of people may have a Twitter account or a Facebook page, but it's a personal one. Yeah, they're not promoting their business or what they do on a digital platform. It's basically what it comes down to.
It's quite interesting. It's quite a scary number.
It is. Mm. It's very scary. So maybe we should tell people a little bit about Sensi Social Media and what you guys, you know, how it got started, what you guys do, and then I've got some questions.
Cool.
I've actually got questions for my guests today as well. I'm all prepared.
Nice. Blimey, she's pushing the boat along. So she's really going for it today.
See, that's why I fluffed the beginning of the show.
Yeah, she was too excited.
I was.
Oh, bless her. So my name is Gareth Cairns. I'm from a company called Sensi Social Media. So Sensi Social Media stands for Zoe Cairns. Zoe Cairns was the founder and the owner of the business. It was kind of weird how I fell into the business.
Did you get pulled in? Was it like, right, Gareth, you need to come work with me now?
Do you know what? Everybody thinks my background is being all digital. To a certain degree, it has been. A lot of my hobbies has been building websites, bit of pay-per-click and stuff like that, but purely only because I was a big gamer, avid gamer. Online gaming was my thing. Used to play for money in competitions, you know, esports over in...
Can you do that?
Yeah. Esports over in Japan is massive. Now, you know, there's degrees that you can have gaming. So my background was... That's how I got my background from actually building websites. And it came to a point where, you know, me and Zoe met. I came over to England to live, and I came and got a job. Background was always construction. It was always manual labour, stuff like that. I went and worked for a company in Sittingbourne on a manager level. And Zoe used to come back, and she used to come back to the back home and say, you know what, I can't really take on any more clients because, you know, I haven't got the time to actually facilitate them.
Mm.
Because you're wearing, as a business owner by yourself, You wear many different hats.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's cool that you go on social media and you know, you're looking after clients on social media. But you know what? You've got bookkeeping to do. You've got more networking to do, all the admin stuff. So Zoe says to me, she says, Garth, you know, I could really use your help. Can you come and help me in the business and do all the admin, do the accounts, stuff like that, the bookkeeping?
Oh, she says she gave you all the exciting jobs to do. To
yeah, honest. Do you know what? It was cool to me because to a certain degree, I'm pretty regimented anyway. You know, it's all about systems and processes for me. And I think every business should have system and processes in place in some way. So, yeah, I says, right, let's put the plan into action. Let's take on, Zoe's goal was to take on a few more clients that obviously would pay for my wages and what I was earning from the company I was with at the moment. And then I would make the transfer over. So I give my, my boss my 4-week notice. And it got done the 4 weeks in that. Got offered a couple of pay rises, they say. And I says, no, I gotta do this. Gotta help Zoe, gotta help her build her business and build the brand. Friday had the leave and do. And then Monday morning, it was starting work. So Monday morning came and two clients decided that they were going to take their marketing in house. And this was two of our Zoe's biggest clients. So, I thought to myself, I had the phone in my hand and I was ready to ring my boss up and say, you know what, I need a...
April Fool, I didn't mean it.
I know that they were to apply, they didn't have the position filled at that time. So, but I thought, you know what, we knew what our goals were, we knew what our targets were, we knew what we wanted. And I think we just put our heads down and just worked it out. Yeah. Just put plans into place on how we could get a couple more clients back. And you know what? Within 4 days, we had it sorted. Mm. You know, and I think it's like everything else. You put anything you put your mind to, you can do.
Exactly.
And that's what happened. So that's how I got adjusted on these Etsy social media. I started looking after the website then, started to do add on all the pages and do the optimization. Also, we had a company that actually built it, so it was the maintainer of it more than anything. And that's, you know, the rest is history. 5 years later
is
now.
Is it 5 years? I was going to say how long? Five years.
It's actually quite weird because I actually wanted to sort of relive my journey whenever I first came into business. And I went to a networking event this morning. It was my first ever networking event I did 5 years ago. And you know what? It scared the hell out of me five years ago. Mm. Whenever I used to sit down on that table and you used to, and we were just talking about Richard earlier about this, it's kind of weird because they must have done it on purpose. You do your 60 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it actually went around the table and I was actually the last person to be able to give my 60 seconds about me and my business. But my heart beated faster and faster and faster as it went round. So and everything that I thought about what I was going to say, never actually I said.
Yep.
I just mumbled out something. Yeah. 2 seconds and sat down. But yeah, that's how you got implementing these Etsy social media.
Fantastic. And so basically, what sort of coverage and support do ZC give to clients?
So it ranges. There's probably two big key factors to what ZC do for client or our clients is we got the training. So the training is for any company that have got their own marketing team in-house. You know, social media to a certain degree is a new thing compared to marketing. You know, you had a lot of direct marketing and stuff like that. So social media, whenever it came on board, the marketing people were like, you know what, this is a bit of us. But social media is constantly changing and it takes a lot of time and effort to keep up the updates and the changes. So we, our clients, we go in and train them and keep them updated and make sure that they're posting out in social the way they should be doing to actually get the message out and actually the right message. You know, I think a lot of businesses, you know, I think if anything from social media, probably the biggest tip that I could give everyone, it's not about you. Just think about everybody else. It's a bit like networking.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit like, you know, you go to see, you meet person on a one-to-one basis. You know, I always want to find out about them first. Yeah. I want to find out what they do and stuff like that. And to a certain degree, it's a bit like a reverse or a bit like a psychology thing. Once they've told you exactly what everything's about, you know, about their company, their brain is empty. They absorb everything that you're going to tell them. So they're actually, you get their 100% focus, and social media in a way is like that. So yeah.
Fantastic. Now we did sort of try to prep for this show because there's so many things I want to ask you question wise. But what I thought was quite good to do with this is from a small business perspective myself, and obviously predominantly our listeners are small businesses.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are in or coming to similar situations that I'm in, for me, I have a very active social media presence. Everybody knows where I am, what I'm doing, and think I'm sorry, they see how successful
yes.
I am.
Yes, exactly.
But you know, the presence is there. But obviously, I'm at the point now where I can't do it all myself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people actually don't do the social media because they don't know how to do it or don't want to do it and that type of thing. But obviously, we know on social media, you have to have a certain amount of engagement and it has to be personal engagement. So how is the, I was trying to think of a way of simplifying this, but it's how, so basically for me, how would you as a company or how would an agency help me get the coverage I need, but still making sure it's personal to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's as if you hand over the reins to someone. How do you still have that sincerity?
But then my followers don't know that I've given it to somebody else to do.
Yeah.
There's many,
how do you do that?
There's many ways of doing it. Probably the best way that we work with clients like yourself is you still got your message to go out there. You still got stuff about your events and stuff like that and your marketing. But if we can get a client to engage themselves to messages, you know, like this is conversational messages, there's nothing that will beat that. Mm. There's really nothing to beat that. What we do as an agency is we offload everything else. Mm. So everything to do with your marketing, you know, your events, your graphic creation, what content. But the biggest thing that anybody needs to do is, what is your strategy? Why do you want to be on social media?
Yeah. Mm.
You know, that is the key thing before any company should even think about it. So we always say this as well. It's no good because Joe down the road's on it. Mm-hmm. That's not a good, or your competitors on it. It's not a good enough reason.
Yeah.
You've got to be really focused. You know, business goals. You know, whenever you start up a business, you do a business plan. So you've got to know what your 5-year goal is, your 3-year goal, your 1-year goal, 6, 3 months.
Yeah.
Social media, in a way, is like that. What is your end goal? What do you want to achieve by being on there?
Yeah.
So it could be brand awareness, or it could be lead generation.
Yeah.
If it's lead generation, it's on social media and you get a client that calls up, measure that by asking, where did you hear about us from?
Yeah.
And a lot of people leave that out, and it's really, really key.
Yeah.
I think
you're absolutely right, though, Gareth. The starting point is, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And if you answer that question for yourself, then it becomes a lot clearer about what you're doing. You know, I said to people have a Twitter account and they haven't tweeted for a month, and you go, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, well, I'll just tickle it along. And I go, do you do sales the same way? You know, like you only make a sales call once every 4 months and, you know, like, I'm gone, no. So, you know, either understand why you're doing it and either don't do it at all if there's no point.
Exactly.
Or if there is a point, then do it, but don't half do it.
And I think as well, they don't know what they actually post out.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of the trouble, isn't it? The content.
Yeah.
And people always say, oh, social media, I think people are scared because it's, social media, you have to engage, don't broadcast, blah, blah, blah. But you have to get your message out there.
Exactly.
So whether broadcast is the right word for it, but you need to get clear information about what you do and what you're offering to clients.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? How do people get the clear message out there?
So the clear message for the way to get it out there is, do you know what? It's just going back to basics. Social media. What is social? Social media. It's being social.
Mm.
That's,
you know, you can't get around that. You can't be a one-way communication tool. Mm. Expect to put a message out there, and even if somebody replies, and not actually get back to them. You've got to be, engagement is really key now.
Yeah.
You know, you could do everything else, but engagement, if you're just doing engagement solely, you're doing really, really well. People want to be able to see, especially for social, they want to be able to see the story behind the brand.
Yeah.
And that does really, really well too. Mm.
But even at its basic level, with Twitter especially, and I'm a big Twitter fan. Although I use all the other media,
really?
Twitter works best for me.
You've got shares in Twitter, haven't you? I swear you have.
me and Bruce Daisley, mate. But the fact is if you've got, even if you've got nothing to say or you don't feel comfortable saying it, the way that you use Twitter, in my opinion, is that you retweet and you engage with other people's engagement. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That way your brand gets promulgated around the network anyway, because people just see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you didn't do anything. So they can't go, oh, you're selling or you're doing, because you didn't do anything. You just went, oh, that's an interesting post. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Zoe, for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and they associate you with those other brands that you've retweeted and commented on. And it can be as simple as that.
Exactly.
And that gets your brand out there anyway, without you doing anything.
Yeah. And the thing we always do, and we're quite passionate about it, and, you know, we help a lot of businesses. We still micro and small and startups even, is we always give away free information. If somebody rings us up in the office and they've got a problem with their Facebook page has gone down or it's got banned or anything like that, we don't start the clock and say, hey, right, we're starting to charge this person and start working on it. What we do, especially, you know, is we help them out to try and sort out their page because they will always remember you for helping them out at a crisis moment. And then as their company becomes bigger and they always remember for that.
I mean, you and Zoe are famous for that, though. You know, I mean, all of us ring you out and go, oi, they've just changed this. How does it work? And so you go, oh, I like this. We go, cheers, thank you.
But that's the thing. Once you're that go-to person for you're with your industry or your niche, you know, that's it. That's the same thing with social media. People come and ask you a lot of questions. You get back to them, engage. And if you've got a free product, get it out there to people as well.
Gareth, what would you say about... So I've got a set of rules that I will apply in all of the sort of platforms that I'll use. And mine's sort of personal branding, if you like, but it's now more recently sort of crossed over into, you know, branding the organisation that I'm with and stuff. A particular field that I've worked in the past and have experienced is around, you mentioned earlier about crisis, is that negative, you know, the moment you've engaged, whatever your message would be, and you keep to your rule set and it's about the brand and the marketing, it's when that starts to go sour or, you know, someone then retweets it or gives a negative comment and you're, you know, without touching the buttons, I know what you're saying in the back of your head.
And this is another scare thing for people and why they don't want to go on there.
A lot of people are put off by it.
All right, so this way, right, no business is perfect. Everybody will have some sort of negative thing on their business no matter what. There's just nothing out there that is really, really positive. But you've got two different aspects of it. You've got trolls. You've got just people out there. Unfortunately, I think there may be companies out there that are not companies, but people out there that actually get a thrill from actually just going and being negative and just putting stuff out there. Just to put a downer on you. They see you doing well. They want to have a go at you, so you're going to get it anyway. So I can see from that point of view. But it's like for the crisis and having the negative feedback, you know, what we say to any client that gets anything bad through social media, if it's not a troll or if it's a genuine request of like something's wrong, you got to get back to them and try and help them out. Like anything you would do with customer relationship. But we see a lot of things where the client would come or somebody would come on and say this, blah, 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 had this bad service, blah, blah, blah. So they go back and say, well, look, we're really sorry. You've had this problem. Can you DM us, you know, a number we can get you back on? So it goes out. Get it offline straight away. So once you get it offline, you do everything to try and help that person and solve their problem. And then what they usually do is come back on saying, you know what, these guys are brilliant. They actually try to help me out. Now, when people see that conversation, they will say, you know what, they mucked up. Everybody mucks up. But they actually went out of their way to actually help that person. And that's it.
And that's the thing.
You're absolutely right. Funny enough, years ago, I used to teach customer service skills. And that's one of the fundamentals is that you can't avoid making mistakes. Yeah, you've got human beings working in a business, you've got technology, there's all kind of things. Things go wrong, But poor or failure of a product or service is an opportunity to build a lifetime fan of your business because the way you handle that is classic. I got a classic example of that from years ago. A guy walked into our office. I was working for a bank. He walked into our office with a huge cardboard box, and we went, what you got there? He went, I got box from Cadbury's full of chocolate. And we're going, okay, where'd you get that from? He said, I bought some fruit and nut the other day, and when I opened it, there was a blue bottle in the chocolate. So I wrote to Cadbury's and complained, and they said, sorry. They gave me this letter saying they would investigate what happened, but have a complimentary box of chocolates. So we're all down the shop, opening bars of Cadbury's, trying to find a fly. We're going, no, there's no fly. No, oh, that's crap, that is. You know, so the way you handle a customer failure is an opportunity for you to build a lifetime brand, just as you said, Gareth, and that's absolutely true.
And it's the same on social media, isn't it? And that's the thing, I think people forget that as well. Social media is just another marketing platform, so treat it as a marketing platform.
Every business, there's going to be a time when something happens within your business, but you know what? It, turn it a negative into a positive,
yeah.
because it's constructive feedback on how you can make your product better.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's where you guys are great as well, because obviously you offer the services and you help clients, mm-hmm. but you also do the training.
Yes.
So people that are smaller businesses, micro businesses, mm-hmm. and startups, you're there and you give them the education. So yeah. they, because I think that's the thing as well. I think people have to do it a bit themselves to begin with, to know what they
exactly.
want,
yeah.
and to test out the platforms and test out where their target audience is. Because when you start up a business, sometimes you haven't got a clue, really. You know what you want to do and who your ideal client is. A lot of people go, yeah, it's everybody. Everybody wants to buy my product. But with the training that you go, I mean, when I started my business just under 3 years ago now, Zoe spoke at one of the first events I went to. And I think I then went to another 10 or so events where mm-hmm. Zoe was speaking. And so I know everything I know about social media from going to listen to Zoe teach and some of the academies as
and
well.
And it goes back to just, why do you want to be on there?
Exactly.
And then finding out who your target audience is. You know, if you're starting up doing a startup, you should always do a business plan, clear mm-hmm. direction. And you just find out where your target audience are. You don't have to be on every social media platform. Mm-hmm. You just want to be able to start with one.
What happens if you feel like you have to be on
every you know what? Platform? You don't. Zoe will tell you.
You are on everything.
I know. That's the trouble. I feel like I have to be everywhere.
Right. Whenever Zoe first went on there, she signed up to 120 social media platforms.
Okay, to be fair, I'm not on all of them.
That
I'm
was the thing yeah. to do.
I'm on the main ones. I'm not on all of them. A lot of them I don't even know about.
And the thing is, you know, maybe if you can and you're techie enough, you know, jump on them all, but or like whatever, like two or three.
Yeah.
But if you're only starting out, only start out with one. Think about where your target audience is hanging out. Is it going to be on Twitter? Is it going to be on Instagram? Is it going to be on Facebook? Is it going to be on LinkedIn? And just pick one of them. Learn it, master it, then move to the next one.
Exactly. And then that's the thing. By the time you've sort of learned it and mastered it, and then you're testing the water. And then if you're not getting the response you feel like you should be getting, well, maybe that's not the right platform and move on.
And the thing is as well, but if you take on so many platforms, they think about, right, next thing is content. What do I put out there? Mm-hmm. They've got four platforms. They've got four posts to do. They've got four images to create. And you know what? It's mind-blowing. There's no way that you, for a person that's trying to run a business and think about, well, it's going to take me 2.5 hours every day to do this for four platforms whenever I could be out there generating leads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all down to a plan and a strategy.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're just obsessive like me and has to be on all of the platforms.
And you've got content.
Because
the content that is missing on a lot. And I think that's why a lot of people tend to start off on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then they just go, oh, well, I just use it to follow. Because I've got nothing to say.
Difficulty.
Well, this again is a subject that we could talk about for hours and hours and hours and hours. But unfortunately, the time is fast going in the show. Let's quickly talk about ZC Live.
Ooh. Yes, ZC Live.
That's coming up in 2 weeks.
I know. 1st of June, ZC Live. It's at the Stroud Academy. So it's our yearly event, our big event. It's a free to attend.
Free. It's free.
Free. Everything's free. There's a free breakfast there as well. If you want to book on for the breakfast, healthy breakfast as well. So we got LinkedIn coming. We're just confirming we might have Instagram popping along as well.
Fantastic.
So they're going to be like doing workshops and that. So if you're only starting out in social media, it's cool for you. If you're if you've got a marketing team and you want to send some of the guys, just send them down. It's a free day of full of content, inspirational speakers. And yeah.
And a big turnout. I've been to all of them so far. And last year, I mean, there was, 600 people there or something. Yeah. So.
But that's the thing as well, though. And because there's always changes, there's always new things happening. So come to that ZC Live 1st of June. Go to zclive.co.uk for more details. Thank you so much,
Gareth. Thank you very much. Cheers.
You're going to hang around because we're talking GDPR soon. The exciting stuff. No, everyone's like, oh, God. We're going to have a quick musical interlude. And then when we come back, I'm going to have a quick event roundup. And then we're going to be talking GDPR. We'll be back after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. Say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. So that's fine by me. So wake me up when
They don't like us.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
The Venues and Events Expo Southeast at the Kent Event Centre, Detling, on Thursday, 31st of May. A one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for their events. Whether you are organising a business event, meeting, seminar, conference, workshop, team building or a corporate party, you will find everything you need in one place. We have a variety of talks from industry experts and a series of masterclasses including team building, well-being and much more. To find out more and to book your free place, visit www.venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Extra radio show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. It is Friday, the 18th of May. I'm joined in the studio today by my co-host, Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence. Thanks for being here, Richard.
Good morning, yes.
And our guest is Gareth Cairns from ZC Social Media.
Hello.
Hello. We have been chatting about, funnily enough, social media. Funny that, isn't it? It is the thing, the subject that everybody needs to know about. And we've just been covering your event coming up, which is ZC Live on the 1st of June, which is fabulous. We have got a few shout outs on the Twitter, so I'm just going to quickly do those. We're going to have a quick event roundup, and then we're going to spend a bit of time talking about the lovely subject of GDPR. But we're not getting deep. We're not getting dirty. We're just giving you the, have you done this? Because, you know, some people are still like, I still don't know what I've got to do because there's so much information coming out. And we were like, no, too much information. Of course, and this type of thing always breeds experts, doesn't it? So then you get, I can do that for you and it only costs you £2,000. We have a shout out from the lovely Kate from Athelbray Limited, at Athelbray Limited on the Twitter. Her daughter was doing a channel distance swim. She didn't actually swim the channel, but she swam the distance of a channel in a local swimming pool, raising money for charity for Diabetes UK. And she finished it yesterday and she raised over £475. And also while she was suffering from morning sickness, nobody knew that her and her hubby were expecting a baby in October.
Congratulations.
Wow. So congratulations to your daughter,
well done,
Kate. Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations and well done. Exactly. That's absolutely awesome. We'll do a shout out for Tracy Ferguson at Tazzy64 on the Twitter handle. She is currently, although I don't know, I want to talk to you, Tracy, because she's currently in Jamaica.
Ooh.
Yes, having fun in the sun, but she will be listening again later. So do say hello to her. And Emily from Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Pinkspag_Emily on the Twitter. Hi to you. It's great to have you listening. And I have to give a big, huge shout out to my BP for the Vexpo. I'm going all short slang these days because it takes so long to say everything. It's BP for the Vexpo. But yeah, my business partner who's organising and running the Venues and Events Expo Southeast with me, which is in 13 days' time. The fabulous Amy Nicholas from Clear Cut Venues at Clear Cut Venues on the Twitter. Check her out. If you're looking for a venue for a particular meeting, event, party, Christmas party, they're organising Christmas parties already, give Amy a shout out because she can help you. Or just come to the Venues and Events Expo next week where you can meet both of us and meet 79 exhibitors we now have on board for that. It's going to be amazing. Let's have a quick look at the events that are coming up over the next couple of weeks. We have on the 19th of May, the lovely Tracy Ferguson is running a Be Your Best Self workshop at St. George Hotel. It's from 9:30 a.m. If you follow at Tazzy, T-A-Z-I, 64 on the Twitter, and you'll get more detail about, excuse me, about that. On the 30th of May to the 1st of June, Social Day in London. That's at the Congress Centre in London. So if you go to socialday.co.uk, you can find more details about that. On the 31st of May, we have the Venues and Events Expo Southeast, which is the event to be at in Kent in May, because the one to be in June is ZC Live, which is on the 1st of June. And my microphone keeps going in and out, so I'm sorry if I keep fading. On the 13th of June, we have Women in Business Luncheon at the Crown Lodge near Ashford. If you go to womeninbusiness.co.uk, you can find out more about that. 23rd of June, we've got the Empower Award Gala. So this is the Empower Mums in Business Award Gala at the Holiday Inn Bloomsbury. See, there's so much. I hope you're writing these all down. 26th of June, we've got Grow Kent, the next Grow Kent, which is a Maidstone Grow Kent. It's Tuesday, 26th of June from 8:30 to 3:30 p.m. And on the 21st of May, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Business Terrace, Peter Sell and the Business Doctors are running a free event, which is Your Business Strapped for Cash? You can find out more if you go to the Business Doctors website. So there's so many events coming up, and I just wanted to go in more detail. But today I really want to talk about this subject, because obviously next week, the fast approaching date is the 25th of May.
Dun, dun, dun.
I was actually going to do that.
Exactly. You should have done it together. That would have been, let's do it together. Okay. And the next week is the 25th of May.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's so crazy. So many people are absolutely petrified about this word GDPR. And I think there's been so much going on around it, and everyone's like, oh, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and you've got to do that, and it's just scary. And obviously, Richard, being a security expert and a cybersecurity expert, and obviously an expert in the field of GDPR, obviously I guess you're seeing it all the time and you're helping clients with it. But what I wanted to touch on today on the show is, say, because predominantly our listeners are small business, micro businesses, yeah. And I know there's some big businesses out there listening to us as well, but let's just talk about the basics of what people definitely need to have in place, ideally, in the next week. So I use my business as an example, yes. And not just because, yeah, I wanted to get free information on what I need to be doing in the next week. But for me, I have a very small database of contacts. And I guess my email database is people that I have conversed with over the last couple of years via email. And then I have a small database of clients who have attended my events. First question, I have to, is it a must that I email every single person and ask them if they want to stay in contact with me? Do they have to opt in?
The simple answer is yes. Okay. I suppose the more difficult part of it, where some of the listeners and certainly clients that I've been meeting have found, is understanding the rationale and reasoning for why you're asking that question.
Yeah.
You will have to try and work out what the processes are that you're using that data for, that personal data.
Yeah.
What personal data is associated with that individual and that database. And a named email is included as personal data. So, yeah. If you work in an employment industry or you've got staff, that's a little bit easier to understand, because that's what we recognise as personal data. But some of the other aspects now, like a named email, does bring into question around the marketing of those people and how you sort of contact them. So you need to come up with some version of events, and certainly there's a plethora of law firms out there that have been trying to answer the legal questions. Depending on the size of your organisation, you would just need to understand the data flow. What comes in, what comes out, how it's stored and how it's transmitted.
And how it's used, I guess.
Yeah, and tell people, communicate, be open, be transparent. Tell them what you're going to do with the data. That's what GDPR is directed at. It's directed at, it was a new framework that was introduced in Europe, and it goes live next Friday. And fundamentally, it's just there to protect people's data. Mm. Your data, my data, everyone's data.
Yeah, so it's for our benefit. It's not just causes a huge major headache. But
I know it causes everyone a huge headache, but it is around, it is a benefit to us. Hopefully, a lot of our spam email boxes will start to lessen. But equally, as someone that actively shares, and we've just spoken about social media, most platforms you have to put in an incredible amount of personal data associated with that. Mm-hmm. I want to know that these platforms are protecting me.
Yeah.
So it's about the security and the storage of that data. So yeah. Once you've understood, you know, how you're going to use it, why you're going to use it, then it's really about how you secure it.
Yeah.
And there's a big book that's the regulations, and there's loads of different opinions around who... about how this should work. And, you know, it's an emotive subject within my environment, you know, because what I would say will differ from somebody else.
Yeah.
But largely, I see it very simply as if you're engaging with your clients, your customers and your staff, be open, be transparent, tell them what you're going to be doing with that data and how you're going to secure it.
Yeah.
Beneath that, you need to put a set of processes in that enables the fact of other aspects of right to be forgotten. Are you able to pull all of the data, paper included? Everyone's sort of focusing on the sort of the
digital, emails and the digital data. Yeah,
it's paper included. So if I want to go to my organization and say, tell me what information, personal data you've got on me, it should be fairly easy for that organization to do and pull that information back. So a smaller organization should be in a position where they would be it'll be easier for them to do so.
So ideally, although we're all getting very sick of getting a GDPR, do you want to opt in emails?
Yeah.
There's two ways of looking at that. One, yes, if you've got a database of clients who you want to keep informed about your products, I guess, or services, you need to email them and just say, look, we know you're getting sick of these emails, but obviously we want to keep contacting you about, for me, example, I want to keep contacting you about events coming up that I think you might be interested in.
Yeah.
Are you happy for me to do that?
Yeah.
And then with that, you just show them your privacy policy,
and you know, your compliance statement, or whichever angle you're going to go to it, and we can go on for hours.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
That. It's that transparency piece.
Yeah, just being transparent.
Tell them what
I want to email you to tell you about the events that are coming up that I think you'll be interested in. Would you like to still hear from me? This is how I'm going to deal with your data. Basically,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, I know it's a lot detail, more than that,
absolutely.
But I think it's just for me. It's like, I keep on just hearing it, and it's like, oh my God, this is just, you know, I've got so much work to do. Why do I need to do this? But if it's that clear, and then obviously, I guess, pertaining to the information that you have on a client,
and how you secure that, and you make a good point around, you know, everyone's sort of annoyed, upset, and it's not going to go away. It'll sort of peter out. But we've just spoken about with the social media how important engaging and relationships are. To your clients.
Exactly.
So please don't just delete it. Give that email some consideration.
Well, that's the thing as well. I mean, as I say, and we were saying off air before the show, is like everyone's like, oh God, I'm getting all these emails now. Don't just delete for the sake of that you're getting peed off for getting the emails.
Is it bad I've got a GDPR folder that all my GDPR emails are put in? And the reason why I've done it, because it's nice to see what other companies are doing. I've actually got
I've actually got
a folder. I've got like 20 emails on there from 20 different companies, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it's amazing the way they sort of, everybody has that different approach.
But I think also, I said that's the thing as well, because say, from our point of view, do we need to send it? Yes, we do. And then the other point of view is, every email you get, just take a minute to see who's it from. If it's somebody that you want to keep in contact from, you want to hear about their services, or you want to keep the communication flow going, just take a few minutes to opt in.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, no one's going to be getting emails from anybody about anything, because everyone's gone, you know what, bollocks to this. And delete.
And you know, we're focusing on the aspect of consent. But again, depending on what type of organisation and business you are, you're going to have some other legal bases for contacting and keeping in communication. And that's the bit that, you know, has seemed to have been sort of picked up by a lot of law firms, more so because it's a legal question.
Yes.
But in essence, you know, if you've got a number of employees, well, you're not going to ask them for the consent to store the information, because you need that information to be able to process payroll, pension, and sort of contractual obligations.
Yeah, because that's where contractual, that sort of...
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, in different organisations, you know, in my organisation, we do a specific amount of sort of high-worth screening of individuals. The balance of power around that, if they want to be introduced to an organisation and you're vetting them or you're screening them, that... they haven't got it. So you have to have some form of legislation or other legal basis to be able to do so.
Mm.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah, please.
So, Richard, with the GDPR and all this data protection, privacy and stuff like this, will social media see an influx of these people that we're trying to deal away with spammers? I think that's the main key, and obviously protect people's data. Will we see these people try and move to social media in a way? And
well, you make a good point. I mean, in essence, there's less governance around Twitter, isn't it? You can sort of, or any social media platform, you can sort of set it up. And if they, you know, it's about doing your data flow. So if you're using, you know, personal data to engage, whichever way it is, and, you know, it could be in this country, abroad, on Twitter, or email, or whatever, that brings you into play.
Yeah. And I think this is why we're seeing a change on social media. We're seeing the big four are starting to lock down now. You can actually see them. They're making changes now because I think they're maybe seeing something that's maybe changing, so they're locking down.
Trying to
lock down.
Yeah, so I always keep a good eye on what those guys are doing because they've got many more people looking at this problem than anyone else. If we were looking at, you know, how to keep it simple, I mean, and there's loads of work that has to happen in between, but you really need to understand your data and then prepare for the worst case scenario. Prepare for that breach. And, you know, I certainly speak to our clients that we've got with Ten Intelligence, and I start at that end and work our way back because I think that's a bit more of a comprehensive way to get to the true answer.
Yeah.
Instead of starting here and forgetting about the breach, the breach could happen on Saturday. And if you've got no idea where your data is on how you're going to respond and who you're going to speak to and inform about that, mm-hmm. Then that's where you're going to come into a bit of a sticky wicket around the ICO and others. And that's where you're going to start to lose, from a business perspective, trust, integrity, transparency with your customers and everything else. So, you know, all of these things are in play. And I think from what I've seen in the last several months, and I've been to many of the sort of workshops that have been provided by law firms and other sort of marketing companies and everybody else, I just think that, you know, this hasn't just crept up on us.
Data protection has been around for a very long time.
Data protection was introduced in 1988, and most of the organisations that I've experienced are largely there, so there's not too much of a gulf. But GDPR was introduced, it became regulation, but 2.5-3 years ago.
Yeah.
So now we've got this sort of last-minute.com aspect to it. People are getting naturally worried about it.
I guess that's the thing, though, isn't it? Like as soon as they put a date on it, everyone starts panicking. Mm. And I bet, like, I'm not the only one, there's 80-90% business owners over there who haven't done anything yet. And they're going, oh, whoops. I've got to do it. I've got a week to do it.
It's the same with every regulation, isn't it? It's like auto-enrolment. The amount of people that waited until the day before their staging date to even find out what it was about is just unbelievable. People put it off and put it off because they don't find it. It's like, you know, a trillion people do their tax return at 10 minutes to midnight before the deadline, don't they? It's just one of those things. But one of the interesting things is, if you want to see what some basic stuff about this, Canada has actually had some very similar privacy rules in place for a long time. The Canadian thing is called is PIPE DA. It's called, which is Personal Information Protection and Electronic Documentation Act. It's not entirely the same as GDPR, but a lot of it is, and that's been in place a long time. So there's a lot of information and processes around in Canada that kind of help you along with this, I think.
One of the difficulties around this is that we haven't been speaking the right language.
I think that's
Whether it been the workshops that I've attended or the legislation itself or the regulations that by very nature are going to be, you know, hypocritical from start to finish. It just makes no sense. And where I saw a bit of a void and where we've paid particular attention to our clients is filling in those blanks from a practical nature. You know, and it's really sort of on the ground, sort of roll your sleeves up and take me through your data journey almost. Some are more complicated than others, but, you know, the key to me is really around being able to demonstrate. It's no longer can we put our sort of head in the sand and something like that. So, you know, yes, it's a bit late now, but, you know, 25th's going to come and go. Stuff will happen there. You know, there'll be case law, there'll be complaints, there'll be all types of stuff that will start to inform us around what the new version of GDPR is actually going to look like. Because we're all still, and we mentioned it earlier, we're all still sort of putting our finger up in the air and wondering how this is going to translate.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. My version of GDPR is to try and demystify a lot of the stuff. Another person's is very sort of very legal, and you've got to be very process driven. Yeah. So you have to have that, but there is a balance between the two.
I guess the main message to get across is don't be scared. It's like everything else when you run a business. It's a process that you have to deal with. There's lots of experts out there. There's lots of people. Find the right person to speak to about it and get advice. And I'm sure a lot of people have sort of put in processes in place and all that type of thing. So it's just be on top of it.
I do genuinely believe that this will assist and add value to a business.
Exactly.
A lot of it, if you think about it, is just straightforward common sense. If you said, look, if someone's got my name and address inside leg measurement and all the rest of it, what would I want them to do with it and not do with it? Yeah. So why not do the same, you know, to other people's data? Exactly. We don't think about it in basic terms. And that's because there's too much messing about. But on the other side of the equation, one of the problems is we've seen with so many government regulations these days, nothing gets cast in concrete until it's hit the courts. And we went all through that with AR35, and we're still doing it with AR35. That's still going through the courts, and they're still making case law about things like that. It happened with auto-enrolment, and it's going to happen with GDPR too.
It is. So just don't be scared, and just, you know... Richard is around, so if you've got any questions and you want to ask Richard, what's the best way for them to contact you, Richard?
Well, if they're following Gareth's footprint, then certainly reach out at on Twitter at Security Speak, or contact me direct via. And I'm not going to give you my full name. I'll give you an info@tenintel.com.
See what he did there.
It's a lot easier to manage than you giving me anything else.
And then you haven't got to ask him his permission to send him an email and ask him questions.
Yes.
See, that's where it gets confusing. Thank you so much. Obviously, Richard is now going to be a regular spot on the show once a month, coming in and helping us. So probably when you're on the next show, we'll go, right, what happened then?
How was it for you?
Did it happen? Yeah. Are you in trouble?
That's assuming he's out of jail by then.
Exactly. Or don't get struck down.
We're going to be covering all different types of things. You know, there's so many different business security things that need to be covered.
Loads, phishing, loads of stuff.
We're going to scare the hell out of you, basically. Yeah. Make sure you're in place. So that's it. We've come to the end of another show. There's not enough time.
I reckon
we could do a whole 4-hour show. Maybe we should move to that. 4 hours. What do you reckon?
Yeah. 3.5 on GDPR.
Yeah, exactly. That should guarantee us at least one or two listeners. Yeah. Not. Thank you both. Thank you very much to Gareth for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.
Covering social media. It's been a great show. Coming up on next week's show, I'm joined in the studio by my lovely co-host Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, and our guest is Carl Brownshill from Phoenix Intrum. He's one of the Abunka Extra sponsors. Do listen in to Paul's show on Tuesday. You've got some great guests on Tuesday, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've got Brian Wakefield, I have Richard Torbal, and I have a lady called Claire from EduLife. And my co-host is Marvellous Martin White. And I'd just like to say a great, big, juicy, sloppy happy birthday today to Martin.
Happy birthday to
he must be at least 70, 71, I would have thought. Yeah.
Good job he doesn't listen to the show. Happy birthday, Martin. We will be back next week. It's going to be a great show. Have a great week, everybody. Don't panic. Just get all your dots in line and get it sorted.
Watch the wedding first and then get on to
The wedding first.
Well, watch the cup final.
No, watch the wedding.
Don't forget the wedding. Who puts a wedding on the day of the cup final, for goodness sake?
Who puts the cup final on the day of a wedding? I mean, that was just stupid, wasn't
or
it?
Or have a lion.
Yeah.
I'll just say it better today. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders. This is Channel 2.
Channel 2 Talk Radio.